Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
How about Robin in the city? Hi, Robin. Thanks for the call.
Hi, you guys. Thank you. I'm watching the game again. I just wanted to say, I want to ask a question and I want to say a comment. So let me say a comment. I look at the Niners as a brand new team. I do that because they're not the same team. They don't have the same personnel. The defense is young. And I do that because I try to, you know, to measure my expectations to what's in front of me and not what I think that's in my head. That, you know, oh, this is what they did 2 years ago. This is it. I think that's unfair. They have a whole different type of personnel. And the second thing I want to say is I told a friend George Kittle was going to be out, and he says, I think the Niners training staff sucks. And I'm just wondering, what the hell does the training staff? But it is you do have to wonder why we keep getting all these injuries all of a sudden. And then the last thing I want to say, guys, and I think you've heard me say this before, the only thing problem I have with Shanahan are his personnel choices and how him and Mitch build a roster. All right? Love you guys both, and take care of one another.
Okay.
Thank you, Robin.
Robin, yep. You too. Thanks so much. Who did she say is making personnel choices with Kyle?
Lynch.
Oh, Lynch.
John Lynch, yeah.
Oh, she said Mitch. I'm like, who's Mitch?
No.
Got it, Lynch.
Yeah, Mitch from Jersey appeared yesterday on Overtime with Grandy.
Oh, that's exciting.
It was an emergency.
All right, yeah. Well, it happened.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Anyway, here's one. Let's address this for a second.
Let's do it.
Because I never know what to do with this. I clearly can't say that it's a bad take. I also can't say that it's a good one. And I've arrived at a spot in my life and career where I don't know what to do with this. When there's a team that is dealing with a lot of injuries, people go, training staff sucks. And I'm like, I don't even know. I don't know what to say about that. I feel like a training staff is about healthy choices. It's about understanding the body. It's about putting guys in their best position to kind of go out there and have the knowledge of what to eat and how to work out and how to stretch and just how to be ready. I don't know if I can arrive at a spot where when football players get hurt, the training staff is to blame. But I also don't know if that's a me thing. Like, I just, there's so many, like, there's no fan base today that's like, oh, like, they all got hurt. Everybody's getting, like, there's
pretty
an
much,
injury
yeah.
report for every team. But there's something about the 49ers where they are, it seems like we get more than our fair share. And of late, it happens to be the big names. I don't know. Do you point to the training staff when something like that happens to George Kittle?
When you look at soft tissue injuries, I don't look at them and say, oh, you're definitely to blame. But it's something that I file away under, you know, a commonality. For example, Juwan Jennings has his shoulder get messed up, and you clearly see what happened. The defensive player just charged into him, and there was actually a flag on that play for illegal contact, but yeah, his shoulder got jacked up. Fred Warner's injury, where he caught a cleat in the face. You saw that one, right? When Fred
Absolutely.
Had to go out, and it's like, oh my God, I hope he's okay, and he's spitting blood, and I'm like, oh my God, he basically ate that man's cleat. Is that on the training staff? Is his face not tough enough because the training staff is not? I'm just making light
right.
of it, but
Juwan Jennings got absolutely
yeah, just said that.
Whacked
his shoulder.
In the shoulder, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, all of them.
And so for something like George Kittle, though, where you know you just kind of tweak the hammy, why did you tweak your hamstring on a play where you weren't really involved in anything other than running?
I don't know.
Those are the ones where I think it's fair to look at the training staff and say, you know, not that it's your fault, but why do these things happen to the 49ers?
Well, but George Kittle's gotten hurt every year. Like, I don't know
but
why.
But usually it's during a football play, like a football action, right?
Right, but I mean, like, I don't know. Does the Warriors training staff suck? Steph wasn't doing anything. Like, you're in your 30s.
Yep.
And you're running and you're twisting and your hammy goes. You've had it happen. I've had it happen. It happens to everybody.
I was refereeing a fourth grade girls basketball game. Talk about embarrassment.
It's actually pretty funny.
I mean,
you see the ref
dude, screaming. Ah! Oh, yeah. Like yelping in pain. Him, it's no joke now.
I told you to get off Yelp. You got to get off Yelp.
Man. Yeah, I got to get back on there. But I don't think that you can look at it and say, oh, training staff, because yeah. George Kittle has been, he's been mostly durable. We don't know how long he's out. And,
it's going to be a few weeks. Well, I mean,
the training staff can sit everybody down and have them all stretch and do all the things that they're supposed to do and hydrate and eat your veggies, and then you run out there and things happen. So
we have, as a football society, we have the hardest time with injuries. I hear people blame the training staff. I hear them blame the coach. Oh, you ran him into the line. Oh, did a football coach get his football player hit? Is that what you're saying? We blame the player. That guy can never stay healthy. We're on the verge of it with Isaac Garendo. And I actually think with all of these things, there's a little something to it. You know, Kyle even said at one point, like, yeah, you've got to learn how to absorb the punishment of the NFL and stay in there. You've got to learn how to do that. But it's going to get everybody at some point. And so I guess there's either no one to blame or everyone to blame. That's the way I look at it. I cannot look at injuries in football and go, it's the training staff, it's the coaching staff, it's the style of play, it's the player. I can't be all in on any of those things. I can simply say, yeah, there's little pieces of all of that, but I think all of them are just beaten by bad luck. Like, that's where I, like, you play football. You play football, and you have got to be able to navigate injuries because they're coming.
Yeah, and they're coming, and normally you can look at an injury that happens when a football player collides with another guy or something actually happens around football, but these are the ones that make you scratch your head a little bit when a player just comes up with an injury on a play where he wasn't even really principally involved in the violence that is football. And that's the bad luck part of it. And also, you mentioned it, you get players who are older and things start to happen when you get a little bit, up in years. Trent Williams had, I don't even know if it was an ankle, looked like an ankle, and he was down and he went out for one snap and he came back in. So you got to expect a certain amount of this just having an older team.
We'll let you hear from Kyle in about 10 minutes with what he said on the conference call. The big updates, first of all, the one we didn't see coming. Brock Purdy is dealing with a left shoulder and toe injury, the toe more serious. Kyle Shanahan said, quote, we'll see how the week progresses. Admitted it was possible that tomorrow the 49ers might need to look into signing a different backup quarterback, which would start meaning wind up Mac Jones and already get him ready for week two. So that's a big update. George Kittle is going to miss, it sounds like, multiple weeks. Not defined yet what that means, but, quote, a few weeks. Juwan Jennings, not a lot of meat on this bone as of yet. MRI was good, waiting on a CT. No evaluation yet or timeline for Juwan Jennings. And on the kicking situation, quote, we're looking into all that now, and mentioned the possibility of tryouts. So that will be a big story throughout the week as well. Let's go to Nick in San Jose. Hi, Nick. Thanks for calling. What's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? I just wanted to talk about the offensive and defensive lines. I don't know. I just feel like the league is moving more towards the trenches every year, and we're seeing the best teams in the league invest more and more in the trenches. And it feels like the 49ers, for whatever reason, are not investing in the offensive line. I mean, they are in the defensive line to a certain extent, but I don't know. I looked at the rushing numbers from this last week, and it seems like they're averaging about like 3 yards a carry or 3.5 yards a carry, which is really, really good. But it didn't feel that way to me when I was watching. It seemed like every time the Seahawks needed a run play, they were able to pick up the yards that they wanted. And I know Bosa came up with a clutch play at the end, but it seemed like when they panned over to all the coaches on the sideline, everyone was just relieved, not like they were expecting it to happen. So, I just wanted to get your thoughts on where the 49ers are with their defensive line and their offensive line, and just your opinions on that.
Yeah, Nick, thanks. So first of all, both teams actually, as far as yards per carry, were very similar. The Seahawks were 3.2, the Niners were 3.3, and no, those are not good numbers. Not up for offense. They're not. You want that number to be 4 or north if you're the offense. I think both of these defenses are very good. I think both of them played really well. I do think that, you know, the Niner offensive line had some concerns, but it was more in the passing game than it was in the running game. I thought Kenneth Walker looked awful for the Seahawks. I thought Charbonnet looked better, but not dominant. Both teams, what they really did well was they limited the long runs. Like nobody had the longest run of the game was for Christian McCaffrey, and it was 13 yards.
Yep.
That was the longest rush of the game.
Yeah, and he had another one for 11. And in general, I thought that the Niners' run game was efficiently mediocre. It was good enough when they needed it to. They didn't have a lot of first down runs that were negative. They were able to get three and even four sometimes and stay ahead of the chains. And it was not an eye-popping, you know, explosive run game, but it was efficient enough to where they had the ball for 38 minutes. That counts in my book for a lot. The defense was chilling.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, we'll keep going with your calls next. We'll let you hear from Kyle Shanahan from the conference call with a lot of news coming up next as well. And then we can dive a little further into whether or not you accept their current Jake Moody stance. 888-957-9570, the number on Willard and Dibbs.
It's questionable concern.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly what people outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Try to go the distance on the opening drive. There's Kittle. He's got it. Niners go 95 on their first drive of the season.
Hey, it's Joe Shasky from The Morning Roast, and you're listening to Willard and Dibbs. And you know, as much as I love Willard, I'm more of a Dibbs guy. So if you want to do what I do, go check in on Dibbs and say hi to him. Get in the YouTube chat. Do it right now on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, Shasky, it's my guy right there.
Yeah. Do what he does and check in on Dibs on YouTube.
Yeah,
check in on you on YouTube.
He might. Talking
about, no, he doesn't. Okay. What do you think? He's got some sort of screen name?
I mean, he might. I don't know.
that'd be amazing if he's like, yeah, my name's Austin in San Jose.
There you go. Yeah. That's my guy.
Yeah.
We actually.
That's nobody's guy.
We've made some amends. Some.
No, you haven't. It was easy to make amends. You get booted.
Okay. Well.
It's the end of that.
Yep.
Anyway, it's also the end of George Kittle. Touchdown! At least for the month of September.
Perhaps,
that's probably the end of that. They said a few games. That feels to me like more than two. And I think they've only got three more in September, right?
Sounds about right. The 14th, 21st, 28th. Yeah. There you have it.
Okay, so we'll see. But you decide for yourself, because we'll get back to your calls in a second. But right now, let's let you hear the full conference call from Kyle Shanahan today. Obviously, a lot to get to, and he started out by talking about the injuries.
All right, guys. Injuries from the game. Ben Bartsch had a mild knee sprain. He'll be day-to-day. Juwan Jennings with his shoulder, we're still evaluating, waiting for the information to come back. George Kittle did have a hamstring. He's going to be out a few weeks. Brock Purdy hurt his left shoulder and toe. We'll see how this week goes for him. And that's it from the game.
Kyle, is one of those two Purdy injuries more severe than the other and he in risk of missing a start or two?
I'd probably say the toe's worse than the shoulder.
And what about his availability this week?
Yeah, we're not sure. We got to see how it heals and how the week goes on it.
Is there any indication on how severe Juwan Jennings' shoulder injury could be?
No, the MRI was good. We're just waiting for a CT.
Kyle, with Brock's toe, is that a turf toe injury?
Just toe. That's all I got here.
Sure. Have you guys made any decision as far as how you plan to proceed at the place kicker position?
We're looking into all that stuff now. I mean, there's options. Just whether it's status quo, we can bring in guys for workout, practice squad. But we're going through all that stuff right now. I'm just finished with the team, and I know the personnel department's going to look into all that stuff and give us those options.
And then as far as the re-signing or bringing back, I should say, of Kendrick Bourne. Can you kind of give the reasoning or just what you believe that Kendrick can bring to the team? I mean, you obviously know him very well.
We love KB from his time here, and he did a hell of a job while he was in New England. So when he got let go, we tried to bring him in here a couple weeks ago, and weren't able to quite get it done. And then Washington didn't either, and it ended up working out with us in the long run. So we got him here today. First time I've seen him back in the building was at a team meeting a little bit ago, and we're pumped to have him back here. We'll see how he does when he gets on the practice field Wednesday.
For the Brock Purdy shoulder injury, is that his left shoulder non-throwing? And did that occur on it was a play in the first half where he was driven pretty hard into the turf. Is that the origin of it?
Yeah, that was it. The one he threw it, I think it was when he just overthrew Ricky a little bit to the left and went into the ground on it.
What about some of the other guys? Did Trent Williams make it through the game okay, and how did Christian come out of that game?
Yeah, I got no reports on either of them today, so I'm sure they're normal soreness from a physical football game, but their injuries were no reports on them, so that means they're good.
Kyle, is that a conversation you have with Jake about bringing in guys to try out at kicker and maybe bringing someone on the practice squad?
No, I haven't had it with him yet because I'm not sure which direction we're going to go. But whenever we decide on something, then we'll address it with him.
Kyle, Christian was on the field for 58 snaps. That is 76, which is a lot for an offense. But was that about kind of where you'd like it to be rep-wise?
I don't really look at it. I don't put a number on it. Never have. I'd be surprised if I ever do. Kind of how it plays out. I mean, I think that's around it, give or take a few either way. But he's a hard guy to get off the field. We did it throughout the game, but sometimes we'll do it more, sometimes we'll do it less.
Kyle, are you going to have to put George Kittle on injured reserve and call up Braden Willis, or what's the plan there?
I mean, when they tell me a few weeks, you know, it's always a possibility. I mean, in order to do that, it's got to be a 4-week injury, so I don't think we've decided on that yet.
Kyle, looking at the so many young rookies on the defense, how did you think their performances were? I know Upton Scott had a challenging day, but other than that, how did you feel they went?
Well, I thought they did good. I mean, definitely things they can improve, but I mean, I think they're all about on the same level. I mean, even to throw Upton against all the other guys. I mean, Upton was at the point of contact a lot more, just being a nickel and how much they target their slot receiver. So I think you could see that a lot, but And I thought he did a good job. I mean, there was a couple that he missed, but I thought Upton played well, and I was pretty happy with all the other rookies too. Definitely a lot of stuff we can coach him on and get better from, but I thought it was a good first game for him.
What do you see from Mykal Williams in particular? He didn't seem to register a lot of stats, but it seemed like he was a big part of the run defense.
Yeah, I thought he was. You know, I think we mixed in a bunch of five-man lines and four-man lines, which I thought he did a good job on, moved around a number of times, and I thought he played his man well. I didn't see him on the stat sheet a ton, but I thought he did a good in his job and what we asked him to do, and I'm hopefully will continue to get better.
How did Marquise Beagle performed?
I was real happy with him. Flew around, made a lot of plays, had that one missed tackle, but even I thought his one missed tackle was good. You know, he didn't break down at all, shot his guns, made the back come to a complete stop, and had that fumble recovery and played very fast in the game, didn't hesitate, and that's where it starts.
Kyle, you're happy with the way you guys responded to adversity and everything, but when you look at the stats, do you come away at all thinking, man, we should have won by more than that?
I mean, you always think that. I mean, not always, but, you know, I think we punted a couple times in the game, but, you know, when you have four drives in a row, I think that had, you know, I think there was one missed field goal, two picks, and a blocked field goal. You know, that's four drives where you're not giving points, and you do that four times in a row, I'm worried that it's going to go completely the other way. So for us to be able to hold them, play good complementary football there, you know, I think on our four sudden changes, I want to say we only gave up points on one of them, if that's correct. Which allowed us to stay in it and overcome those things. And then I love how we controlled the ball in the second half, how we got the run game going and really leaned on them, which I really think kind of took their run game out of the game and allowed us to kind of control momentum and take it back over towards the end.
Kyle, when you went through the Jake Tonjes touchdown catch, what kind of stood out to you as you were viewing that?
That no one was open, and I didn't think Jake was, but for some reason Brock did. And when he threw it at the end of it, he proved to us that Jake was open because he made a hell of a play stepping in front of Tariq like that, and it was a big-time catch. Earlier in that drive, he had his first NFL catch, and it was followed the next play by a second, and I want to say it was three plays later by the game winner. So I think Brock just ended up getting confidence in him very quickly as the drive went.
He's been around, Jake has, for a while now. What is it about him that has prompted you guys to or inspired you guys to keep him around? What do you like about his game?
The biggest thing that stands out is his hands. I mean, he's got really good hands, which you can see on that last play. He's got athletic ability. And then when you tie athletic ability with someone's hands and size, he's got the tools to be good in the pass game. But he had to come a long way in the run game to be able to make the team and be out there. And he has come a long way in the run game, and he continues to improve in the pass game too. So I know yesterday was his first day kind of sticking out to anyone, and hopefully he'll continue to get better from that and put together a good career here.
Kyle, you guys got the deal done with Colton McKivitz. How meaningful was that for you? And how nice is it? I don't think he's missed a game since he became full-time starter to, with all the kind of moving pieces you've dealt with the last couple of years, to have a guy dependable like that.
Yeah, Colton's been one of, I think, the most reliable guys on our team, really since he got in when McGlinchey left. I mean, Colton's, to me, is such a good story. I mean, he was a fifth-round pick. We cut him once, put him on practice squad. He ended up coming back and playing for us. I still remember Week 17 game versus the Rams when it wasn't until before the game that we realized Trent couldn't go, and Colton went in there and played unbelievable, gave us a chance to go to the playoffs, and it was the next year that he really took over that starting position at right tackle, and he's been our guy there ever since. So just the consistency he's played with, the fact that I believe he gets better each year also, and really that I think Colton's one of the true leaders on our team and truly a 49er, and really pumped that we found a way to keep him here.
Kyle, if Mac Jones does have to start this week, just kind of what's his state of readiness based on what you saw in camp leading into this?
I think Mac had a really good camp, going back all the way to OTAs and training camp. I think he's gotten really used to what we do. Had a little setback there the last couple weeks of camp with the injury that he got. But he had a good week of practice last week, picking up really right where he left off, and he has to go this week. He'll lead the guys. The guys will believe in him, and I know he'll do his job at a high level.
What about the number three quarterback position, Adrian Martinez? I don't think that he's attempted an NFL pass. Would you need to bring somebody in who's more experienced if Brock can't go?
It's a possibility. I mean, I think it has to do with really how Brock is probably over these next 24 hours throughout the week. But that stuff we'll look into. We've been happy to get Adrian here. Heard good things about him from the Jets and really enjoyed him last week in our first week of practice together, just watching him a little bit and get to know him some. But all that stuff will be fluid probably throughout the week and the next 24 hours.
Kyle, with George going out, are you comfortable with Braden Willis being bumped up?
Oh, yeah. Braden was bumped up a ton last year and was on a roster a ton last year. So Braden's played in a lot of games for us, and we wouldn't hesitate to bring Braden out there.
There's a few more guys.
Kyle, does Juwan have a chance to play Sunday?
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks.
Sure.
Anything else, guys? All right, appreciate
you good.
It. We'll see you Wednesday.
All right, thank guys. You. See you guys thank Wednesday.
You. All right, see you then, Kyle.
Yep. Wednesday. Wednesday it is.
Possibly.
I love it. Does Juwan have a chance to play? Yeah.
Right?
Like, I mean, he's allowed to. He's on our team.
Yeah, and we don't know what the injury is. You're still waiting on that CT scan, so.
It's questionable. Questionable concern.
Look, so much of this is just learning how to kind of translate what Coach Speak is doing, and I don't think any of us are ever perfect at it, but there are a lot of semantics going on right now, and also, if you flash back to last week, Kyle Shanahan, when it comes to injuries, does not feel like he should expand. So how's he feeling and how many games? It's like, I don't know. Does he have a chance to play this week? Yeah. Does he have a chance to be out for the whole year? Yep. Totally.
I mean, yeah.
All things are possible.
Sure.
Ian Rappaport put a number on George Kittle.
Oh, yeah? What he probably said, 3 to 5.
That's exactly what he said.
Yeah, because that is a few. And so nobody really knows, and you won't know until you get through a week, 2 weeks, and however many weeks. But, you know, if you miss a week, or if you say somebody's going to be out a couple, or you say a few, or then you get to many, or then you get to several, all these words have general numerical kind of ballparks to them. So when Kyle says at the start of that piece that Grandy just played, he's going to be out a few weeks, that tells me that a few is more than two and less than six.
Yeah.
3 to 5.
I've never had five in my few category. I've always had few for 3 to 4.
Okay.
Because five is five, and we do kind of, there's that marker of fives in right. our numerical society. When you get to five, that's five. That's not a few, but that's just me. You're not wrong. That's what Rap Sheet said, 3 to 5 weeks. So let's look at the schedule and what that means, because I'm going to go ahead and assume that that definitely means three. Like, he's right? If he's out
Makes
three
sense.
To 5 weeks, I'm going to go ahead and assume he's going to miss the next three. So that's at New Orleans, home to Arizona, and home to Jacksonville. And indeed, that is the remainder of the month of September. Now we get into the fourth game from now, and that is not only on the road against the Rams, but it's a Thursday nighter, so it's only 4 days after the 3 weeks. So I'm going to put that at pretty unlikely, too, because if you can tell me today that he's not ready to play football on September 28th, what are the chances that he will be ready on Thursday, October 2nd? Probably not great, but anyway, just so you know, that's the fourth game. The fifth one is a road game at Tampa Bay on October 12th.
Right.
Now, that's obviously coming off of the mini bye because you got a full week and a half in there. Atlanta at home on October 19th would be the game, seemingly, that the tweet suggests he will definitely be back for.
Yeah, and you never know how these things are going to react and just how severe the injury is. If it's going to be that long, then you may think about an IR situation because, yeah. you know, you start running out of bodies pretty fast. And, you know, Braden Willis is a guy who you can elevate. And now you're looking at your tight end room already was relatively thin because, you know, you've got Tonjes, who just got targeted for the second time in his entire life. Three catches now for his career.
Yep.
Farrell, not a guy who catches the ball a lot. And Willis is somebody who hasn't really played a lot. So all of a sudden, you're going to be looking at a month of no Kittle, most likely. So you're going to have to figure out other ways to make this thing work offensively.
All right. Can I
As
just,
am I with my fantasy team.
Yeah, well, good luck to you, pal.
Devastating.
Yeah.
16-team league.
What's that?
I mean, I'm going to have to pick up Jake Tonjes.
What's the situation for you in your what's the situation
oh, I got beat.
For you?
I got beat by Ken.
No. I know. Yeah. But, like, what's the larger situation? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, you lost your tight end.
Sure.
What else? What popped for you? What didn't? What changes are you looking to make?
I think I'm going to get a new kicker. I got Jake Moody as my kicker, and he got 5 points. And that's not going to work for me, Jake. I'm going to need you to make the field goals when you get a chance. He missed one, and he had one blocked. So that right there is 6 points. That hurt me. Harvey, the rookie running back for Denver, RJ Harvey, he'll get there. But Denver was That whole thing was kind of a flat offensive effort. Bo Nix was not looking great there, Grandy. Bo Nix, not a great season
no, he didn't look right.
debut.
Well, let me just collectively for everybody, let's kind of take all that in for a second, everything from Kyle. And let me just say a word that rhymes with duck.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's what he said after the second kick got blocked.
I mean.
That's what Kyle said.
He did say that. Like. Ugh, we're already here. So everybody worried about injuries all August. Then the Niners got to week one, and they were very largely healthy, except for late in the week, everyone freaked out about Christian McCaffrey. And what's the only room unaffected by injury right now? The running backs, yeah. So that's crazy. But here we are, and the tail of the tape right now is we don't know anything on Juwan Jennings. But we do know this. We know that George Kittle is going to miss September, and we know that Brock Purdy is a maybe for this week against New Orleans. And that's a tough 1-2 punch to come out of game one with. Thank goodness they won that football game. And you'd like to think that even a patched together group can go beat the Saints, but I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what Mac Jones would look like, especially with receivers that just showed up. I mean, that's tough against any NFL team. So, no two ways about it. This is a day after Victory Monday gut punch.
A little sobering. And I just was looking at the play where I believe Purdy got hurt. It was in the second quarter, 3rd and 5, and he rolls and he rolled back and he threw it out of bounds. And the defensive lineman basically planted him straight on his left shoulder on the turf.
Was Ricky Pearsall the target?
I think this was a throw that just sailed wildly out of bounds.
Lombardi did do a thing as far as he said it happened. Brock Purdy's injury is on the left shoulder. It happened when he was hit on an attempted pass to Ricky Pearsall. He did not expand as to when, and obviously nobody knows what's going on or when the toe happened.
Right.
But Kyle says that's the more serious of the two. I mean, come on, Brock's tough. If we're talking about a non-throwing shoulder, I would like his chances to be able to play this weekend. Don't want to dismiss it, but that'd be my guess. But the toe injury, when they say, is it a turf toe? And Kyle's like,
it's a toe.
It's a toe.
I'm being told it's a toe. And I saw something that it's his left big toe. I don't know if that's officially the toe. I mean, you have a 1 in 10 chance of guessing the toe. But if the shoulder happened when I think it did with 12 minutes to go in the second quarter, he played 3 quarters of football.
Yeah.
He played through it with his non-throwing shoulder, so I wouldn't be as worried about that. And the toe, same thing. You mentioned it on the Tonjes winning touchdown. He running around like a crazy man back there.
I know, but you know how injuries work, and you wake up the next day, and all of a sudden they're twice the size or whatever.
Yeah, adrenaline.
Adrenaline is gone as well, and so I don't know. I don't know what to think about this, but I you're sitting here watching the Niners. They win. You know that Kittle is probably going to miss a little bit. Still don't know what's going on with Jennings, but you're like, dude, you won a game on the road in the division. This is amazing. And then 24 hours later, you're like, wait, I'm sorry, what? Brock? Brock Purdy's hurt? So didn't know that and didn't think we'd be dealing with that going into New Orleans in 6 days. But here we are. Here we are, and the Niners seemingly fighting the injury bug not just as much as anyone, but at a higher level too. I mean, I don't know how many big names came out of yesterday with injury problems. I'm trying to think, like looking around the league, if there were any other, and I know we're just going to get these updates now. Puka Nacua left to get, he got bloodied, but my God, that guy's tough as nails. Looking around the league, Brock Bowers left. He said he was going to be okay, but I can't recall any other names this big dealing with question marks for next week, and for sure the first sort of like big name slash fantasy football tremor of the year belongs to none other than George Kittle.
Yep. Yeah. Just looking at some of the list, Drake London of the Falcons had a shoulder.
He did. He missed the last series.
Xavier Worthy dislocated shoulder by his own guy.
Yep.
And that happened back on Friday. Evan Ingram, my other tight end.
Good luck to you.
Had to leave the game with a calf. Uh-huh. So I have two tight ends. I started both, and now neither one of them will be available for me, it looks like.
Yeah.
Because Ingram's got a calf, and we don't know what that's going to be like. But, you know, other guys, Joe Mixon, who didn't play.
Well,
Mixon's
on IR, and I don't even know if he can play football this year.
Yeah, so.
I've heard some weird things coming out of that one. But anyway.
But, no, that is fairly high profile, not only for fantasy, but also for the Niners. And when you look at how they were going about their business, that opening drive, 95 yards, and, you know, Purdy was spectacular, and Kittle was awesome, and you got Robinson and CMC. The only one for Purdy, and I don't even know what the hell was going on, the jump pass? Like, is that something he's developing?
I'm out on the jump pass. That's a good try. That's creative. I love creativity. Try new things. Be you. But, wasn't my favorite thing.
Yeah. I don't even know if it was, like, that necessary.
I don't know. Yeah. With like, was that on purpose, Brock?
Exactly.
Or just, like, a spasm? I don't know. I don't know what happened there. But, anyway, we're brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. Also, don't forget, we're not done with week 1. we got one more football game to go, and a certain someone sitting right here across from me who is due to say something about it and is hot. So I'm just going to sort of, you know, quarters, you play quarters in college?
Oh, yeah.
Is it three in a row where you get to make a rule?
Three in a row, you make a rule. All
right, let's do, for Fade the Dibbers, let's do five in a row. Because, like, three in a row is a little bit more common. Five in a row, then you get to use the phrase, ride the Dibbers.
Oh, okay.
Until you lose.
All right. I've got the Monday night lock for you. Kukush,
okay.
That's coming up.
And that would be for five. Dibs is 4-0. 4-0. Call his message line to start the year. So we'll have that pick. And then let's get out to you. 888-957-9570. We'll take your calls right now. The Jake Moody situation. Also, you can react to anything from the game. We always just ask you, what'd you think? So what'd you think? Plus now, Kittle, 3 to 5 weeks. And Brock Purdy is a maybe. So let's get to all of that, and we will take your calls right now and throughout the 5 o'clock hour, 888-957-9570. It's Willard and Dibbs.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, guys. Injuries from the game. Ben Bartsch had a mild knee sprain. He'll be day-to-day. Juwan Jennings with his shoulder. We're still evaluating, waiting for the information to come back. George Kittle did have a hamstring. He's going to be out a few weeks. Brock Purdy hurt his left shoulder and toe. We'll see how this week goes for him. And that's it from the game.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
Thanks a lot, Kyle.
Yeah,
geez. That's awesome. That's great. Great.
Ben Bartsch played every snap, so yeah. Hopefully he's able to, you
know. It sounds like when you get some day-to-day, you know, a little dirt on it, yep. Even though they're going to be in a dome. But anyway, yeah, that's less than ideal for one game. I'll say it again. Thank goodness they won it. Thank goodness they won it.
Yeah. Oh,
and, yeah. And, you know, one other thing. If you just want something football-related – that came from that conference call is Kyle assessing Brock's decision to throw the ball where he did to Jake Tonjes. And Kyle was like, I did not believe that Jake was open. Brock did. And I guess Brock proved that he was right.
Yeah, I mean.
By the way, I know we've made fun of that whole next-gen stat. And, like, I don't know how the hell you assess this stuff. But Next Gen Stats said that when Brock released that ball, it had a 14.7% completion probability. I found out another piece of info about that stat.
Yeah.
That is the lowest percentage of any ball in his career that he's thrown that then was actually completed.
You found all those numbers, all the Next Gen numbers?
Next Gen says that it had a 14.7% completion probability, and that is the lowest number for any completion in his entire career.
Huh. Well, there you have it. I do know this, that the pass he threw to Jake Tonjes is completed 100% of the time. He threw it. Jake caught it, they won.
Yeah, like I've been looking at all the replays and I have not found any that show Jake not catching the ball.
No, and if we were doing Seattle radio, you could talk about the DB who didn't step up and make the play on that ball because that was not an absolute laser of a throw. He just floated it kind of up for grabs and Tonjes came around the defender, jumped up, high-pointed it, and scored. So there you have it. Touchdown.
Touchdown.
Winner.
We'll see about winner, Mr. Winner. We're gonna fade the Dibbers here in just a second. Not yet. The Bears and Vikings will play in a matter of about a half hour or so, whatever it is, 25 minutes, half hour. But let's go live to Seattle, where Connor is standing by. Hello, Connor. What's going on? Thanks for calling.
Hey,
Good afternoon, gents. How are we doing?
We're fantastic. It's a Victory Monday.
Yes, sir. It's great up here in the Pacific Northwest. I just moved this last year, and you know, what a great way to start the year off with our boys coming up to the Northwest and kicking some butt. And man, what a game. It was great.
Fantastic, Connor. Yeah, I'm sorry. Did you say that you're just up there, or did you go to the game yesterday?
I moved up here, so I'm a new resident of the Seattle area. But I did actually look into buying some tickets. But looking at standing room, you know, with a week in advance or so, is about $200 still. So it was a little out of my price range for a last minute ticket.
Two bills to not have
to
a
stand,
seat?
Yeah.
Yeah, two bills to stand. It was kind of outrageous to me, but you know, it is what it is. It's I've never gone to any games out here yet, so I've got to learn the ways.
How's it feeling around town today after the Seattle loss?
Oh, I feel great. I can't say anything for the Seattle fans, but I've been playing my Bay Area playlist downtown, making sure people understand who I am, and I'm enjoying it 100%.
Beautiful,
nice. Attaboy.
Beautiful, Connor. Well, Connor, thank you for checking in. Appreciate that.
Thanks, gents. Have a great rest of your Victory Monday.
Yeah. All right, right there on, goes, Connor. And just listening to it and watching it on TV, it didn't feel quite like a 50-50 crowd, but the Niner crowd was there and they were loud. And you can always judge it based on Kyle Juszczyk receptions. When Kyle Juszczyk gets a catch and you're at home and the crowd all shouts out juice, and then you go on the road, even yesterday, he had that one big catch where he got absolutely submarined and flipped, and the crowd, you could hear it, juice. It had to be 35-40% Niner fans?
I think at least. I mean, I know there was that Vivid Seats thing that said that they were going to be 53% of the audience. I did hear somebody call the roast earlier this morning who was at the game, and he kind of reported that, first of all, it was still very loud. It was just a loud environment, and so very, very difficult for the players to kind of process what they're doing and hear and all of that. But also added that, like, yeah, it was a little circumstantial, but the 49er fans were just as loud and a very, very big part of the presence up there. So whatever it was, it's just another 49er road game. That's pretty much how they all are now.
Yeah.
Unless you're talking about, like, there's a few sort of blue blood places where I don't know if Niner fans would quote unquote take over. But I think they're represented all the time. Like, I wonder, you know, it's snowing in Buffalo and we stunk. So, like, last year,
a little tough, yeah.
What was the representation of Niner fans? Maybe not much. But there's not a lot of places around the NFL where I think that the red and gold fans are not going to represent well.
Yeah, Green Bay is another tough one just because it's, you know, not easy to get to. And the majority of the people who go to those games are also co-owners of the team, and
yeah,
so
it's their life.
That's a tough one to crack as well. But you know, LA, sure, Arizona, absolutely. Even in New Orleans, where, you know, I don't know how many transplants there are from the Bay down there, but the Niner fans will show up to New Orleans in droves.
The Niner fans and all fans will show up to this show in droves if you keep making the money. So I do hope that you feel the weight of responsibility. With great power comes great responsibility.
Yeah, yeah.
You're hot.
He's hot.
You're 4-0.
Come on.
And not just any 4-0. You're starting the season on a 4-game win streak. This is a significant moment.
Oh, yeah.
Can you close out the entire week with nothing but perfection? That is the effort. You hit Thursday night football. Mm. You hit Friday night football.
Brazil.
You hit Sunday night football. And you hit Niner football. But can you hit Monday night football? All right, we have a significant situation that has developed in this football game because you've been saying all day long that the pick is in.
The pick's been in.
However, there has been monumental movement on this line.
Huh.
Even from the moment that we got in today.
Really?
The line is a full 3 points different than what it was when we arrived at the studio.
No Schmidt?
No Schmidt. And you leave the Browns kicker's name out your mouth.
Yeah, seriously. Sismet.
The Minnesota Vikings have been a slight favorite for just about as long as I can remember, and it sat at 1.5 when we arrived today. But heavy movement on the Bears has come in as this game has drawn closer. And now, not only is it drawn even, but the Bears will be favored. And the Bears are now laying 1.5 in this football game. Dibs?
That's just crazy, you know, to have the movement be past the number zero, as we like to say. That means significant money is coming on Chicago, but I remain undaunted. I've started the year absolutely hot, including my own spreads pick 'em pool. I'm 11-4 on the week, and yeah, 4-0 in the air. So now you're going to go ahead and give me points? I was willing to take Minnesota and lay the 1.5 gladly. J.J. McCarthy making his debut in his second year, kind of his rookie year. I love Minnesota's offensive package, including Jordan Mason. And Caleb Williams, he's not very good. We're taking the Vikings, and we're getting a 1.5.
Hey, 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 hey.
Fight on.
Hey, hey.
He stinks. You guys are following the money, aren't you?
You're going to have the nerve to sit here and say Caleb Williams stinks while in the process of propping up a quarterback who literally has never thrown an NFL pass.
He's never thrown an interception.
No, he hasn't. Nor a touchdown.
He's never fumbled.
Nor a completion, nor an incompletion.
Right. And
he's never played football.
The Vikings offense is better by far than the Bears offense.
You don't even know. You've never met their quarterback.
I've never met Caleb Williams. I've seen him.
No, yes, you have.
I haven't met him.
Football-wise, you have. You've watched him play NFL football.
I'm hitting you with semantics. Kyle Shanahan. I've never met him and stuff. I like Minnesota.
Okay.
Cuckoosh, lock it up.
Listen.
Fade me all you want.
Listen.
4-0.
You're 4-0.
Fade away.
You're due for a loss.
You're 4-0.
And I never say that when I lose four in a row that I'm due for a win.
But
good point.
Playoffs last year, hashtag, you're 4-0. But you walked out of here on a three-pick Friday, and I told you I liked all the picks. So you know, this isn't just for effect. I don't just let's fade the Dibbers, woo. I only if I feel it. And even at 4-0, I mean, for two weeks I've been looking at this game going, dude, Bears, you love a new coach bounce. They got a new coach. The Vikings quarterback's on the road for the first game of his entire life. I also have heard camp reports that would say J.J. McCarthy doesn't look that good. So,
sure. I mean, preseason reports.
So, listen, I'm willing to be wrong.
Fade away.
I will.
I'm yet to be wrong this year.
I already have.
Right?
Yeah. And you
probably got it when the Bears were getting the 1.5, right?
Well,
you should have.
No, I just went money line because I think the Bears are going to win the game.
Yeah, it's weird that the spread has moved 3 points in just this day.
Yeah, what's your read on that? What do you think's going on there? What do you think, Grandy? The hell's going on with
the Bears have a couple of high profile inactives too, which makes no sense.
Is it
cornerbacks.
Jalen, yeah, is he out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jalen Johnson is out, so is their starting middle linebacker, TJ Edwards. But on the other side, Christian Darrisaw, star left tackle for the Vikings, is out. So is Harrison Smith. So both teams dealing with injuries.
Huh. Okay. Yeah, this is a weird one. This one's hard to read. You got inactives. You have a young quarterback against a younger quarterback. Monday night, new coach, like a whole new offense for the Bears. And I would argue same thing for the Vikings because you have a whole new quarterback. So good play caller is going to tailor things to his talent. He does not have Sam Darnold anymore. Now he has J.J. McCarthy.
Right.
That's a weird game. It's a hard one.
Week one is always, I think, very difficult because you don't know exactly what some teams are. And like Seattle's a good example. Yesterday, they had a new quarterback and they had a lot of new pieces. And so you didn't totally know what to expect from them.
I'm going to attempt to back you into a corner in just a moment.
Go ahead. All right, try all you want.
I know.
4-0.
I'm not worried.
Y'all fade me. No, fade away.
Not about your pick.
I know it's not.
It's about your statements.
Yeah.
All right. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station. And the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app. We're coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.